Hello once again, and welcome to Studies in the Gospels, right here on the Gospel Radio Network. My name is Chris McElyea, your host of this program, where each week we examine the life of Christ as found in the four Gospel accounts of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Today we are going to complete the section of our study as we have looked at the Roman trial of Jesus and these events leading up to the cross. And today we're going to look as Pilate attempts to release Jesus. This is found in Matthew chapter 27, verses 24 through 25, and John chapter 19, verses 4 through 16. Now, for our purposes today, we're going to primarily focus in on the account found in John chapter 19, verses 4 through 16. So let's go there now to our text. Pilate then went out again and said to them, "Behold, I am bringing him out to you, that you may know that I find no fault in him." Then Jesus came out, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate said to them, "Behold the man." Therefore, when the chief priest and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "You take him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him." The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and according to our law, he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God." Therefore, when Pilate heard that saying, he was the more afraid, and went again to the praetorium, and said to Jesus, "Where are you from?" But Jesus gave him no answer. Then Pilate said to him, "Are you not speaking to me? Do you know that I have power to crucify you and power to release you?" Jesus answered, "You could have no power at all against me unless it had been given you from above. Therefore, the one who delivered me to you has the greater sin." From then on, Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, "If you let this man go, you are not Caesar's friend. Whoever makes himself a king speaks against Caesar." When Pilate, therefore, heard that saying, he brought Jesus out and sat down in the judgment seat in a place called the pavement, but in Hebrew, Gabbatha. Now it was the preparation day of the Passover, and about the sixth hour he said to the Jews, "Behold your king." But they cried out, "Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priest answered, "We have no king but Caesar." Then he delivered him to be crucified. So they took Jesus and led him away. Now the things written by John were recorded so that we might believe, according to chapter 20 and verse 31. "But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name." Pilate had found no guilt in Jesus previously and attempted to release him already by giving the people a choice between Jesus and Barabbas. Think back to chapter 18, beginning in verse 38. Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews, and said to them, I find no fault in him at all. But you have a custom that I should release someone to you at the Passover. Do you therefore want me to release you to you, the King of the Jews? Then they all cried again, saying, Not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber. So then Pilate took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers twisted a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put on him a purple robe. Then they said, Hail, King of the Jews. And they struck him with their hands. So now as we go back to our text, let's look at Pilate's attempts to release Jesus. Verse 4. Pilate then went out again and said to them, Behold, I am bringing him out to you, that you may know that I find no fault in him. Then Jesus came out, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate said to them, Behold the man. Therefore, when the chief priest and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, Crucify him! Crucify him! Pilate said to them, You take him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. The Jews answered him, We have a law, and according to our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God. Because it was the time of the Passover, Pilate had reminded the Jews of the custom of delivering the freedom of one individual. He had felt that Jesus would be easily chosen over the murderous Barabbas. But as we know, the people cried out for the release of Barabbas after the leaders had stirred the crowd up against Jesus. So Pilate again takes the opportunity to inform the gathered multitude that he could find no fault in Jesus. Pilate asked the crowd if they wanted him to release the King of the Jews. Pilate had now twice referred to Jesus as the King of the Jews. By choosing Barabbas, who was a murderer, thief, and traitor, they chose darkness over light. They rejected the pure and good light of Jesus Christ, and instead chose an agent of Satan. And here we are in 2022, and people are still choosing the darkness of Satan over the light of Jesus on a daily basis. Make no mistake, it is the majority making this decision. This led to the beating and mockery of Jesus that we looked at last week. Remember the prophetic word of Isaiah regarding the scourging in Isaiah chapter 52 and verse 14. Just as many were astonished at you, so his visage was marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. The beating left Jesus so weakened that he would be unable to carry his own cross. Jesus would only live a few hours on the cross because of the extra severity of the scourging. Verse 5 says that then Jesus came out, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate said to them, Behold the man. So the humiliations continue as Jesus is brought out with a crown of thorns upon his head, and a robe of purple is placed upon him. He would be covered in his own blood from head to toe, and his skin shredded to pieces. Pilate seemingly thinks that maybe the crowd will have sympathy for Jesus when they see his condition. So he parades Jesus before them in his humiliation. Pilate said, "Behold the man," at the end of verse 5. Now notice verse 6. "Therefore, when the chief priests and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, 'Crucify him! Crucify him!'" Pilate's second attempt at releasing Jesus had completely failed, for the crowd only became more angry and vicious and began to cry out, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" The mob demands that Jesus be crucified him. Pilate had found Jesus innocent of the charges against him. So Pilate tells the Jews, in essence, to do it yourselves. Pilate said to them, "You take him and you crucify him, for I find no fault in him." Pilate has once again stated that he finds no fault in Jesus. Truly, the just was about to be offered for the unjust. The Jews had made up charges against Jesus because he had done no wrong. Pilate and Herod had both failed to find fault in him, for indeed there was none. Jesus is the perfect Lamb of God without blemish. The Jewish leaders are refusing to let Pilate release Jesus, and they need Pilate to crucify Jesus to accomplish their goal. The problem is that Pilate and the Roman government does not see Jesus as deserving to be killed. So they now come up with a plan to possibly force the hand of Pilate into carrying out their wishes. Notice verse 7. "The Jews answered him, 'We have a law, and according to our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God.'" Pilate, as the ruler, was supposed to uphold the laws of the Jews and maintain order, as long as they did not contradict any Roman law. The Jewish leaders are accusing Pilate of not doing his job if he does not kill Jesus. They are saying that Jesus has broken the Jewish law and that the penalty is death. And if he does not carry out the sentence, then he has failed to carry out his duty. So Pilate now shows his true colors. He shows that he is not concerned about true justice. Instead, he is afraid. Afraid that if he does not yield to the Jews, the reports will come before the emperor, and his tenuous hold on power will be in trouble. He comes to realize that the best course of action for him is to please the Jews. And so Pilate decides to question Jesus again in hopes of maybe finding a reason to judge against him. So now as we move forward, we find that Pilate once again will question Jesus. Verse 8, "Therefore, when Pilate heard that saying, he was the more afraid, and went again into the praetorium and said to Jesus, 'Where are you from?' But Jesus gave him no answer. Then Pilate said to him, Are you not speaking to me? Do you not know that I have power to crucify you and power to release you? Jesus answered, You could have no power at all against me unless it had been given to you from above. Therefore, the one who delivered me to you has the greater sin. Now we go to verse 12. From then on, Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, If you let this man go, you are not Caesar's friend. Whoever makes himself a king speaks against Caesar. Now Pilate had previously questioned Jesus about his kingship, and Jesus had told him the truth. But Pilate questions Jesus again, but this time Jesus will not respond. Back to verse 8 again. Therefore, when Pilate heard that saying, he was more afraid, and went again into the praetorium and said to Jesus, Where are you from? But Jesus gave him no answer. Then in verse 10, Then Pilate said to him, Are you not speaking to me? Do you not know that I have power to crucify you and power to release you? So Jesus reminds Pilate that the only power he possesses over Jesus is that which has been given to him by God. We tend to forget this today in the matters of nations and men. That the only power that evil rulers and nations have is that which has been given to them by God, and that they will answer for their sins, and that their power is usually derived from God's plan to chastise the wrongdoings of other peoples. Jesus here is submitting himself to the governing authorities. He is willing to abide by their decisions, no matter how unjust it may be. Truly, the principle of Romans 13:1, Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Jesus would submit no matter how unfair or unjust the authorities were. And consider that all of these events are taking place and being done with the foreknowledge of God. Verse 11, Jesus answered, You could have no power at all against me unless it had been given you from above. Therefore, the one who delivered me to you has the greater sin. Jesus points out that the sin of the Jews is more evil than the sin of Pilate. Jesus had been sent to save the Jews, and they were rejecting him and signing their own death sentence in the spiritual sense. Pilate had again questioned Jesus and once again would try to release Jesus because Pilate knew that if he sent Jesus to the cross, that he was condemning an innocent man. But unfortunately, everything that Pilate did to free Jesus only increased the cry to kill Jesus. Verse 12, From then on, Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, If you let this man go, you are not Caesar's friend. Whoever makes himself a king speaks against Caesar. Pilate now realizes that his choice is to either crucify an innocent man or risk having his power stripped by the Roman emperor. And so Pilate makes the decision that his self-interest was much more important than justice. And now we see the verdict. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus out and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in Hebrew, Gabbatha. Now it was the preparation day of the Passover, and about the sixth hour he said to the Jews, "Behold your king." But they cried out, "Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priest answered, "We have no king but Caesar." Then he delivered him to be crucified. So they took Jesus and led him. After the words of the Jews in verse 12, Pilate feels that he has no choice but to crucify Jesus for his own self-preservation. And notice verse 13, when Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus out and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in Hebrew, the Hebrew, Gabbatha. So Pilate brings Jesus out again and takes his place in the judgment seat. Verse 14, now it was the preparation day of the Passover. And about the sixth hour, he said to the Jews, "Behold your king." The Apostle John, by the influence of the Holy Spirit, reminds us here that it is the preparation day for the Passover, the day that the Passover lamb was to be slaughtered. This fact certainly cannot be overlooked. Pilate, from his judgment seat, speaks, and he said to the Jews, "Behold your king." Before Pilate had said, "Behold the man," now he says, "Behold your king." Jesus stood before the Jews, beaten nearly to death, with a crown of painful thorns upon his head, in a robe of purple. And Pilate says, "Behold your king." The king truly stood before them, and this is how they received him. Sympathy was nowhere to be found. They did not repent, and they did not regret their actions. Instead, they cried out again. 15. But they cried out, "Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priest answered, "We have no king but Caesar." Pilate, one last time, asked, "Do you really want me to crucify your king?" And look at the incredible response of the Jews, the ones who hated the Roman occupation of their people, the ones who sadly hated their Savior even more than the Romans. The chief priest answered, "We have no king but Caesar." Pilate yields to the Jews and renders the final decision. Jesus would be crucified. Verse 16. Then he delivered him to them to be crucified. So they took Jesus and led him. Pontius Pilate had been faced with the decision of what to do about Jesus. And you and I still have to make that same decision today. What am I going to do about Jesus? In our text today, we have looked at Jesus being rejected, beaten, mocked, abused, and humiliated. Pilate said, "Behold your king." Indeed, what are you going to do about Jesus? Will you bow to Jesus as your king? Or are you going to choose to reign in your life yourself? Are you willing to surrender everything to him? At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. The question is whether you will do it now or later. The majority will not do it until it is too late. What are you going to do about Jesus? As John the Baptist stated, "Behold the Lamb of God." And with that, the road to the cross is before Jesus. The darkest moment in the history of mankind is just a short time away. What will you do about Jesus? Thank you for joining me. If the Lord wills, we'll see you again next week at this same time for Studies in the Gospels here on the Gospel Radio Network. Remember, our program will be replayed this evening at 11 p.m. Central Standard Time and posted in the on-demand section of the Gospel Radio Network website in a day or so. And so until then, this is Chris saying so long, have a great day, and may God bless.